The scripture for this morning is in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. And it starts, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good." The scripture starts and it says, "And now, Israel," and we are spiritual Israel, "what does the Lord your God ask of you?" What does the Lord God ask of us? But before we answer that question, let's be reminded of what God has done for us. In this part of Deuteronomy, just leading up to it, God had rescued the Israelites from slavery. He had demonstrated his power in many different ways to Pharaoh and the Egyptian army who got lost in the river. He made those who brought out of Israel, he made them a chosen people. He provided for them as they went throughout the wilderness, even though sometimes they complained bitterly. He led them by light at night and provided shade during the day. He made a covenant with them that he would be their God and they would be his people forever. He even gave them commandments on how to live a life of peace, a life based on love. He gave them the greatest commandment of all. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is a verse that we should all know. If you, starting in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel." He's talking to us. He says, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." No other gods, just one God. And he's the only God that can save you. He is the only God who can provide for you. And he is the only God who really cares for you. And it goes on, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And this was all given, by Moses. And he had come down from the mountain and he had the tablets in his hand. And what does he find? People are worshiping a golden calf. So what does he do? He goes right back up to the mountain with a new set of tablets. He receives the commandments again. He comes back down and he builds an ark and he puts the tablets into an ark and it's called the Ark of the Covenant. Does this sound familiar, this story? I'm sure you all know it. You've all read it in Exodus and so on. But do you know that there's a parallel story to that one? Do you know that God has done even more? He did more than just rescuing the Israelites. He did more than telling us how to live properly. He did more than identifying that he is the only God. He did more than making that covenant. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. That's what he did. And he came to this earth to rescue us and set us free. Just like he sent Moses and brought the Israelites and set them free. He gave us eternal life. Thank you, Jesus Christ. He provides for us. He answers our prayers, as some of you know and have experienced just in this past week. He never forsakes us. Never leaves us alone, just like he never left the people in the wilderness alone. He took care of them. And he reminded us of the commandments. Jesus Christ reminded us in Matthew chapter 22. He said, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, referring to Deuteronomy, of course. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, he goes on in another scripture that says, you're even to love your enemies. You're even to love your enemies. So now let's go back to that verse. And now, Israel, what does the Lord ask of you? Now that we know what he has done for us and does for us each and every day. And the first thing he says, what does he ask of you but to fear the Lord? To walk, to love, to serve, to observe. But he starts with this word fear. He says, fear the Lord. Does that mean to be afraid? Do you think a loving God wants us to be afraid of him? Are we supposed to cringe and be nervous because of God? Is that the fear that he wants? No, not at all. You see, the interesting part is the world thinks that, parts of the world, some people say, well, I just don't understand. How can God be such a terrible God when he asks us to fear him? And that he's a God that is a mean God. And the answer is he's not a mean God. He's a loving God. But there's one thing he doesn't like, and that's evil. Yeah, he tells us that very clearly. And his wrath is against evil, not against us. We start here, and now Israel, what does the Lord ask of you? Who is you? You are those who have received Christ in your life. This is what he is asking us, to fear him. Fear. The Greek word in this passage in Deuteronomy is yira. And when you look into that Greek word, it translates into awesome thing, or revered, respect, reverence. When we go into the New Testament and we see the word fear, all right, in its usage, there are two types of, it's the same word, phobos. Yes, you have to fear certain things, be afraid. But it also translates into reverence, respect, worship, a proper fear of God, a deep reverence and awe. That's what this word fear means. And so he's saying, fear the Lord. Well, that's interesting. If we're not to be afraid, what does it mean to fear? What does it mean to fear? So let's use the Bible to teach us what it says. In Job, as we get to the end of Job, he says, and he said to the human race, to fear the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. So part of fearing is to ask for wisdom. And it's interesting because when we pray and we ask for the Holy Spirit in us, we are to ask for wisdom and discernment. In the New Testament, they understood the churches that had been formed early in the book of Acts. They understood what it meant to fear the Lord. It says, and then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. They lived in reverence. They lived in worship. They lived in awe of God. That's what they did. What kind of fear is it that God wants us to have? Does he want us to have the fear of the unknown? The fear of tomorrow, the fear of punishment, the fear of death? No, what he wants us to do is, he says, he's going to teach us. In Psalm 34, it says, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, and here's part of the teaching, keep your tongue from evil, your lips from telling lies, turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Turn from evil, seek peace. Just as it was done in the prayer this morning by Peter, we seek peace in our world. This world is in turmoil. The violence, the injustice, the abuse. We can only pray for peace, and peace will come at the return of Jesus Christ. We pray for the kingdom. We are to seek peace. There's so many other things in the Bible. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures, but here's four more very quickly about what fear is. In Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Where do you get the knowledge? You get the knowledge from God's word. Read God's word. Be immersed in God's word. The scripture that was read this morning by Walter, put on the armor. That's part of fear. Because who should we fear? Is not God. We ask to be delivered from evil because that's what we want. We go to fear, to be afraid of. We don't want Satan in our lives. So put on the armor. This is knowledge that is given to us. That is part of the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 8, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Humility is the fear of the Lord in Proverbs 22. Not pride. Be humble. This better is a little fear. Better a little with fear of the Lord than great worth wealth with turmoil. These are just four things. There's many more as you read God's word as what it means to fear the Lord. I have a little formula that I like to use. I think I may have mentioned it once before. And that is to take the word fear, and for each letter of the word fear, it can help us understand and learn how to fear the Lord. So the first one of fear, the letter F, is for faith. Have faith, because God rewards those who seek him. Have faith in God. God, we talked about believing in Christ. Have faith. Let's be reminded in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we don't see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Faith is that we believe Christ or God created the universe. That's part of faith. Part of faith is believing in what Jesus Christ did for us. And without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So part of fear is faith. The next part about fear, the letter E, is experiencing God in your life. Experiencing God in your life. Experiencing his grace. Experiencing his love. Experiencing his compassion and his mercy. Experiencing his answered prayer. Knowing with confidence that our sins, when we confess them, will be forgiven. In John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's experiencing God. That's experiencing Jesus Christ. That's experiencing the Holy Spirit in our life. That's part of fear. to experience God in our lives. Oh, the next one, the letter A. That's incredible, because that letter A can be used to say, you're in awe. You're in awe of God. You're in awe of His power. You're in awe of His majesty. You are in awe of His creation. Mankind still can't answer all the questions that are in Job chapters 38 and 39. When you have a moment, just go and read those two chapters, and there are a whole bunch of questions that God asks Job about the creation, and today man has still not been able to answer them. We should be in awe of the creation around us. Its beauty, its intricacy, its majesty, its magnificence. In Psalm 66, verse 3, it says, how awesome are your works. So in the word fear, the A is awe, awesome. You know what else is awesome? That we are given our future, the kingdom, eternal life with Christ. And then we get to the R of the word fear. So we have F for faith, E for experiencing Christ in our lives, A for awe and awesome, and R is for reverence and respect. Resolve to obey the great commandments that we have been given. That's what respect and reverence is. I was reminded the other day how we sometimes show respect. If you're in a situation and a policeman shows up, does your character change and you all sort of respect what's going on around you all of a sudden because here's this person of authority? I'm sure Walter and Ann and others who have been teachers would know that when they're out of the classroom, there's a lot of chaos, and when the teacher walks in, there's a lot of respect. Or at least there used to be when I went to school. We used to sit up straight and stop talking right away. I don't know if that still happens. But no, Nini, you're saying no, it's not. No, dear. Anyway, maybe that was a bad analogy for this day and age. Or maybe actually it was a good one to just show how our society has just gone to pot. But respect is, it's amazing the amount of respect we can show when there's someone or something of authority around us, whether it's a policeman, a teacher, sometimes a parent, a government official, when they're in our presence, we sort of, yeah, okay, we'll tighten the tie, we'll look a little bit better, we'll show respect. But the respect and the fear and the reverence that God wants is that we revere Him and we obey His law. In Psalm 121, blessed are all who will fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. That's what the R is. In showing our respect, we obey. You know, it's what a gift we are given, knowing that when we stumble or fall, when we sin, that we have the grace and mercy of God and we can ask for forgiveness and He gives it. You see, fear is not this bone-shaking, hair-on-end, heart-stopping, dry-mouth, trembling, knee-shaking fear. The fear that we are to show, we go back to the original scripture, it is to believe in Jesus Christ. It is being in awe of God and receiving His love and compassion. It is having that faith. It's having the experience and being reminded of the experiences we enjoy of Christ in our lives. It is the awe of His creation and the awe of how He answers our prayers and guides us and protects us and watches over us. It is the respect and reverence that we give Him. That is the fear that He asks us. asks of us. So let us be reminded of what God has done for each and every one of us, and show him how that we want to live in fear of him, in the right kind of fear, the fear of the Lord. It's what God asks of us. I'll just finalize with one quick word again. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father who has compassion on his children. And interesting, that was what Anne read in her call to worship. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He has compassion on us. So let us do what God asks of us. In Proverbs 23:17, he says, always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Be zealous, be passionate. Put the fear of the Lord as the first thing in your life, the first thing that you think of when you're up in the morning, the first thing that when you encounter troubles during the day, the first thing that you think of should be the fear of the Lord. Let us be zealous for the fear of the Lord and be reminded of what he has done for us, what he, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done for us, and the tremendous future that we have ahead of us. Great God, we just thank you. We thank you. We really don't appreciate. We say we do. We think about it. We read about it. But we really have not yet fully comprehended all that you have done for us. But we do know that you sent your Son. We do know that because of his death on the cross, his resurrection, and that he is now with you at your right-hand side, that we can, having received him in our lives, be confident of eternal life. But let us be zealous in our fear of you. Fear in the right way. Fear with faith. Fear in awe. Fear in respect. Fear in thanks for the experiences that you give us in our lives. We place our lives into your hands. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.